They divide the word of truth today, and we're asking that this message would penetrate the hearts of our listeners, our friends, our power partners. And Lord, we praise you that you're not out of inventory. You always have new things for us. I know we'll never accomplish it all, but we're highly motivated to get as much as we can to share with our people so they can win too. We want to win, and we want them to win. Thank you, Father, for the marvelous word of God that you watch over to perform it. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about a title deed out of the New Testament. And if you understand deeds, deeds means that something exists someplace and there's ownership of that something or of that thing. And I thought about our house, for example. We have a deed on our house. However, we don't have it paid off yet. And we want to live in a debt-free house. That's our goal. But for right now, the first mortgage is in the name of the mortgage company, and our names are also on there. But everything we have has a lien on it right now in terms of the house. And at one time, we had a small second mortgage. We got that cleaned off. And now we just have a first mortgage on there, but it's encumbered. There's a lien against the property, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things hoped for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality." And that's faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, to understand this Hebrews 11:1, you have to say, well, there's a spirit world, and I have something there. I have an investment there. Well, that something is faith, and we hold on to that by a title deed. That really is our confirmation, Barb. And if we don't have that, we're not going to get the manifestation. We're not going to get the harvest.
I love this amplified translation of Hebrews 11:1. Darren, I love the way they have said, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And so many times we have to go against our senses. As you say, symptoms and feelings are liars. God's word is truth. We have to go against what our senses tell us and look into the word of God and perceive that that is the truth.
Exactly, exactly. And in the same translation in the Amplified in Isaiah 61:11, it says, it talks about sowing and reaping, and then it talks about the self-fulfilling power of the word. Now, in Jeremiah 1:12, it says that God watches over his word to perform it. Well, God is watching over this word, and when we hold on to that, we have a title deed to the word, to the promise, to the offer that God has made, and he is saying, I want to fulfill this. Well, if you sit down and you say, well, I have a title deed, then my question would be to you, are you a legal owner of that title deed, or are you a vital owner? And in this teaching today, we're going to try to help you move from being just a legal owner to being a vital owner. And I think that is extremely important, and that's one of the core understandings that we have to see this work for us. Now, our confessions will make this title deed vital. And in Joshua 1:8, it says, if you will meditate on the word day and night, you will have prosperity and success. And I've kind of paraphrased that. But we want, you know, as Americans, certainly it seems to be real high on our interest list, and that's to be prosperous and to be successful. Well, that's also very high in God's values for us. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be protected. And he's provided word for all of those things. Now, when I think about the background that I have in real estate law, contract law, school law, I think a lot about legal cases. And here in Isaiah 43:26, there's a scripture that absolutely wires my clock. And I'm going to go to that scripture and read it exactly. But and on the way to the studio this morning, Barbara, you had another scripture that you were putting right alongside that. But Isaiah 43:26 says this, put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. Mm-hmm. Now, when you walk into a court of law, if you have been sued or whatever, or you've been charged with something, the judge at some point will say, how do you plead? Do you plead innocent? Do you plead guilty? Do you plead that you don't owe the money? You know, how do you plead? What's your stance here? What are you standing on over here? And I will tell you that many times there are nuisance lawsuits against us. And you can read about those in the paper. I mean, some of them are just so preposterous and so far out, you say, how in the world could an attorney ever represent somebody on a deal like that? And then you'll have people say, I'm absolutely innocent of the, I am not guilty as charged. I'm innocent. Well, if you go into a court of law, the judge is going to say, how do you plead? I plead innocent. Now, the other side, if you're the defendant in the case, the other side is going to say, no, we brought this case based on this legal precedent. And this person built his fence on my property, and he should have kept it on his own property. He should have had a survey, you know, all of this stuff. And that's just maybe not a nuisance lawsuit, but you got to go get it settled. Now, if you don't show up in court, there's a legal understanding that you're presumed guilty. So if a frivolous lawsuit comes against you, for example, and somebody says, you know, Darren owes me $5,000, and they register that at the courthouse, and then a lawsuit comes against me, and I said, you know, what are these people thinking about? They got to be out of their mind. They know that I don't owe them the $5,000. I'm not even going to court. Forget them. Phooey. You know, I'm messing with them. Well, if I don't show up and defend my innocence, then the gavel comes down, and there's a $5,000 charge, a lien put against my name and my property because I didn't show up, and I am presumed guilty. Well, here God is saying, come, let us argue our case. And the reason he says that is he has sworn by his holiness that he will not alter or break the covenant. He said, I made a covenant to bless you. I made a covenant to give you the power to make wealth, and I'm not changing it. Well, so God has an interest in the case. He is going to argue from the standpoint, and this is so important, this is so rich. He is going to argue the case with you based on his integrity and his word. So when you go into the court of law, which is a court of heaven, and God is not only your heavenly Father, he's Father Judge, he's going to be the judge, and Jesus is your advocate or your attorney. Well, it's a slam dunk if you're right, and you go into that court, the judge is your friend, Jesus is your friend, how can you lose? Well, when you understand title deed, you say, I am doing this based on God's promises, then you're going to win in court. But yes, you got to go to court.
You do. Another verse that talks about God going before us as our judge is found in Jeremiah 51, Darren, where he's talking about casting down Babylon and destroying Babylon. And the whole chapter is about her destruction. And in the 36th verse of Jeremiah 51, God is saying, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you, and I shall dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. He's talking about the enemy. And it's important that we know that when God goes before us as the judge and as Jesus is our lawyer, that they're going to plead our case. And he said, I am going to exact full vengeance for you.
Where is that scripture?
Jeremiah 51:36. So he's going to go before us, and maybe what we couldn't have gotten accomplished on our own, God and his son Jesus are going to do.
Absolutely.
For us.
And right. You know, there's another scripture that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
That's right.
And so sometimes we need to lay it down and turn it over to the Lord. And that's what we teach in Isaiah when we talk about, I believe it's Isaiah 48:17, that says, every word spoken against you in judgment you will condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Or is that 54:17?
54:17.
I'm confused. Is it 54:17? Uh-huh. I've taught so much on that, I should remember that like I remember my Social Security number. Isaiah 54:17. Well, I believe that when we go before the judge, the Father, in the court of heaven, and Jesus is there, and by the way, the devil's shooting his mouth off. He accuses us day and night before the Father.
I hope that you read that scripture before we end.
Oh, I'm going to do that. We're going to put that at
Revelation,
the end here.
Yes.
You need to get rid of all the liens and all the attachments against your property, all the encumbrances. You say, oh, we're encumbered, we're weighed down, we're burdened down. Sometimes you're burdened down with absolute lies and fraudulent expectations by the predator, the devil. He
yes.
comes to prey upon us. He's a predator.
Yes.
And when John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, you stop and think, how is the devil killing? How is he stealing? How is he destroying from me? Well, one thing he wants to destroy is your potential.
Well, I love your example on the way to the studio today. You were talking about Matthew 13 and that he brings frivolous notions to our minds, frivolous lawsuits, frivolous accusations, threats. And in Matthew 13, verse 24, it's talking about Jesus telling the story about tares being sown in the same field with the good seed. And these tares are accusations from the devil. In fact,